Mike Socha has joined us on Sports Byline USA. You heard the Al Campanis quote about you being the best defensive catcher he had ever seen in his career. What was your attitude toward being a defensive catcher? Was it technique, or was it more just the attitude of how you wanted to play the position?
Well, this was something I did learn in the minor leagues with the Dodgers, and I remember being told that as a catcher, you're going to affect the game with the 130 to 150 pitches you're going to call from the pitcher or pitchers that are out there, much more than you are, even if you get five at-bats and you hit like Mike Piazza or Johnny Bench. So my focus was always on that defensive side, always bringing the piece of the puzzle that you know, that needed to be there as a catcher. And it's something, you know, that I quickly realized, you know, I could go over four and top out four times and actually be a key contributor to a win, but from what I did behind the plate. And so I think you do put a lot of emphasis on that part of the game as a catcher, if you want to be that winning catcher. Now, as far as making plays at the plate and blocking the plate, unfortunately, that's a skill that is evaporated with the new rules that are in baseball now. And some of it's good, where maybe some catchers might not be at risk as much, but it was always an exciting play to me, and I think growing up in Philadelphia, it was a badge of honor to hang in there and make that play at the plate. But as I said, the rules have changed to where you're not seeing catchers make those plays like we could when I played.
I loved your quote. The one collision that absolutely I got hit harder than anybody else was Chili Davis in 1986 when he was with the Giants. I saw stars. That was the hardest I've been hit, including my years of playing football. It was a heck of a collision. He was out at that time, and we were both out. Tell me a little bit about how that play developed.
Well, it was a base hit to center field, and, you know, Chili Davis has a, you know, obviously, I think if you look back, you think of him as just a great hitter and a DH. You know, when he was young, he could fly, and he was built like Apollo Creed. And he came around third base, and just as the ball got there, he was in his lean to, you know, I was blocking the plate. He was in his lean to try to get through the block, get to the plate. And we hit like two trains, and I know I was seeing stars. I know he saw stars, and fortunately, the ball stayed in my glove.
When you take a look at managing, when did you start to think about you'd like to transition into that, Mike?
That was much later. I never thought of it as a player. I think that there are stages you go through to reach this level, and it's going to be my 16th year managing the Angels, and it's really been, you know, it's been a privilege. I can't tell you how fortunate I feel to have this kind of an opportunity. But you're focused on playing the game. That's all I thought about, the next game, what's going on. You're living for the moment. And then when you're out and you can't play anymore, you start to think of, I love the game. What's in it for, you know, that I can contribute and have fun and maybe be that, you know, be a mentor to younger guys. And I got into the catching, instructing end of it. I love that with the Dodgers. And got one little chance, one little glimpse to manage, and it was an instruction league, and then the fall league in 1997, and I was hooked. I loved it, and fortunately, 3 years later, I got a chance to manage with the Angels.
Mike, one of the things I always wondered about: does a manager manage just for the moment, or do you think about the next day's game, the next series that's coming up as well?
I think all the things that you're talking about are really factored into every decision. There are definitely decisions where you've got the day for, you know, tomorrow or 2 days from now, or 2 months from now, in mind. And there are definitely decisions where, you know, the next 2 minutes are important, and you make decisions along those lines. So I think there's definitely reasons why you're going to do things at different times. A lot of it will have to do with what's happening the next day. But at times, like I say, you know, you're living for the moment. You know, you've got to do something at that point of that game to try to win it. And that's what you need to do.
Let me ask you about a couple of players, outstanding players that you have managed. MVP, Mike Trout. Now, here is a young, developing player, and yet you've got somebody like an Albert Pujols, who is, you know, a veteran player. Tell me about the differences in motivating them and also managing them.
I haven't had much problem motivating players, and I think it comes with the understanding, especially guys that are mega talented like Mike. There's a reason for it. They love to play the game. They work hard at it. I don't know if there's a player I've seen that prepares any better than Albert Pujols. These guys have all come up and gone through the process. They've come through minor leagues. They've come up to the major leagues and had to work through some things. And the once their talent got on the field, you see them take off, and it's been incredible. So I've never, you know, these guys are special players. They're, you know, there's no doubt Albert Pujols is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Mike Trout, you know, God forbid any unforeseen injury, is going to do over the next 15 to 20 years what you would expect a player of his caliber to do. And he's going to put up numbers that are going to open up that hall for him, too. So it's an exciting time for us in the Angels organization. But to be honest with you, I haven't had much problem connecting with the passion that guys have to play the game and motivating them. And it's it makes it a lot easier as a manager.
With all the great players, is there a commonality among them about why they're successful? What have you, you know, watched and seen?
I think there's a number of factors that make players successful. And I think one of the biggest ones, as I've been in this game a little longer, is discipline. And I mean the discipline to organize your life, organize what you need to do in your mind, prepare for a game, understand your talent. All these things are very, very important to have a long career and have the success of a major leaguer. And, you know, I think there's a lot of guys out there that have talent. There's a lot of guys out there that have desire, but there's very few of them that can put it together and be the type of player that we're talking about.
I've always thought that catchers probably had the better feel for the game when it came to managing, because they were actually managing behind the plate. They were managing the pitcher, whoever it might be, veteran or young player, on the mound. They were positioning players and everything. Am I correct in the assumption that that probably helped you more than anything else in making the transition to being a manager at the major league level?
I think in one area it does. I think that's in the pitcher-catcher communication, which I think it's the biggest part of a team, and the biggest part of a winning team is that ability for that battery, that pitcher and catcher, to work together and bring a game plan in and execute pitches. I think, you know, I lived it as a player, but I will say this. If you look at guys that weren't catchers, Dusty Baker, Lou Piniella, you know, guys that were playing other positions, these guys, you know, they understood that part of it, and really, even though they didn't live it as a player as much, made a quick study of it and were terrific at understanding pitching and the pitcher-catcher relationship. So there might be a bit of an advantage with a catcher because it's something we've done for forever, but I don't think it gives you any leg up on being a manager. There's a lot that goes into being a manager than just having caught in the major leagues.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I'd be amiss if I didn't ask you for your remembrances of your second World Series championship when you were playing with the Dodgers. That was 1988 when the Dodgers beat the A's 4-1, and that game number one with Kirk Gibson limping out to the batter's box.
You know, it's an incredible event. I still get goose pimples when I watch it on TV. It's really the story of Casey at the bat and the poem of Casey at the bat against the Mudville Nine. Excuse me. And this time Casey gets up and hits a home run instead of striking out. And Kirk was banged up. He had been such a huge part of our team. In fact, he was MVP of the league that year. He got banged up in the Mets series. We didn't think he was going to be available at all. But he felt he had one swing in him. Tommy put him in a great spot, and he hit a 3-2 slider from Dennis Eckersley for a game-winning home run in game one of the series and gave us momentum to where we beat him in 5 games.
I'd be amiss also if I didn't ask you for your favorite baseball memory as a player or as a manager.
You know, I think as a player, there's no doubt that what we just talked about, that being in that stadium, the electricity that you feel in someone on a World Series game hitting a walk-off home run was incredible. And I still can smell the stadium. I can hear the fans. Dodger Stadium is a special place, and to hear it packed and those fans roaring is incredible. As a manager, you know, obviously having a chance to be part of a World Championship in 2002, I think game six, where we're down 5-0 to the Giants going into the seventh inning, and I end up scoring 6 runs before we get 5 outs and or before we get 6 outs to win game six and stay alive and then beat them in game seven. So I've had an opportunity to see it on both ends as a player and a manager. I will tell you this game's about playing, and I enjoyed it much more as a player.
In about 15 seconds, is the story true that your wife, Ann, you met her because she brought you cookies to Dodger Stadium?
That's a true story. That is a true story, and I guess she knew the way to my heart.
Mike, I want to thank you very much, not only for what you did in the game as a player, but also as a manager, but what you've been off the field as well. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, Mike.
Okay, Ron, thank you very much.
Mike Socia, again, the fine manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim since the 2000 season and the winningest manager in Angels history, and he spent his entire playing career with the Dodgers some 12 years, winning two World Series, one in 81 and the other in 88, and of course he led the Angels to their first World Series as a wild card. That was against the San Francisco Giants. We continue with more of You and Sports Byline.